Okay, thank you. Any other members? Councilman Napa.
So, few things. I'd also like to echo my fellow freshman councilman on the 5 days being sort of integral to be able to effectively manage the calendars, or at least to this point in our tenure, effectively manage the calendars that I've presented thus far. I have no gauge as to how long it's going to take, maybe on a quote-unquote normal schedule, but so far we seem to be a magnet for an undesirable heavy schedule. So I have no reason to believe that that's not going to continue. My concern is shortening that to 4 days is not going to allow adequate time as well. The other sort of concerns I have here, kind of going through the amendments, is there are, well, we're saying on one hand, we don't have the authority to cause the city clerk to do anything. On page 12, items K, well, the newly noted items K, L, and M all direct the city clerk to do certain tasks. So I think at the very least, it would be prudent to maybe hold this. I don't think this is pressing where we have to jam this through. No doubt we do need to clean up this and make it more efficient and streamlined. But I think maybe holding this until after the looming budget hearings would be prudent to allow us to make sure that we're all cleaned up here. Because if we go through all the amendments that I've just sort of circled in the last few days of going through this, we're going to be here for another 2 hours working on amendments. And then we're still not going to be comfortable and clear on what we're amending.
Yeah, so I don't mind if this is held, not even a little, frankly, so that this stuff can get addressed properly. My only request is that get it to the full floor and then hold it. That way we can get input now and we don't have to do a rinse and repeat later on. Okay. And bear in mind, if there are any other sections where you notice exactly what Councilman Napa just noticed, please make a note of it so that we can make sure with any changes we address that.
When you're saying get it to the full floor, do you mean like as amended to the full floor, or just make a motion to move it to the floor now and then we hold it as the full council?
Correct. The latter.
The latter?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to make a motion. Well, does anyone else want to?
We got to do the rounds first.
Yep. We'll do the runaround, yep. And then we'll go. Councilman Latta, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me start off by saying I agree with Councilman Napper, and quite frankly, I don't see what the urgency is to have to deal with 30 amendments to the council rules at this point in time. My personal feelings is that we have things far more serious, but here we are. So my first request will be for each of these items to be voted on individually, as opposed to a blanket, broad brush approach to everything. I had actually was going to request that each item be taken in order, but certainly the committee has their job to do in getting to the point of us here on the floor. So with that said, I'm going to go through the items that I have questions on. Some of them may be redundant, but nonetheless, I need to expand on them. So on page 7, I'm sorry, item number 7, in my the way I've numbered it, on page 6, line 31.
Sir, Councilman, was that page 6, line 39? 31, okay.
It's on page 6, line 31. So line 31 through 33 has been eliminated. And what is the reason for that elimination?
In line 25, and as the council has done year after year, and actually couple times made amendments. We set the actual dates as adopted via resolution. So the rule sets a guideline that in this instance, we had scheduling conflicts that resulted in the changing of the July meeting from the previously prescribed second Monday of the month in July. We ran into an issue with scheduling and we changed it by resolution. So the fact that the council can always set their calendar by resolution was, as it's already says in the, you know, couple sentences up or a couple lines up in that rule. We're really relying on the council sets its meeting dates by a resolution. These other things are good suggestions. They've been around for some time, but they are off. They have been changed from time to time when it's not convenient for members. So it's not to say that anyone is saying we should have more meetings in July and August or unlimited meetings. It is saying that the council will set that via resolution.
Well, that's pretty much exactly my point, is by excluding that language, does that mean that we have no meetings in July and August? Or does it mean we're going to have two meetings like the rest of the months?
It means
that where does it state what the meetings will be in July and August? Or where does it state in this council rules that it'll be up to the city council at some point in time to determine what the meeting dates will be in July and August?
The rule itself, Rule 15, says that the council shall meet at their meetings at such time on dates as adopted via council resolution. So right now, that it's the rule actually could be in conflict. So it's a cleanup. Whatever the council would like to do as far as how frequently these regular meetings are is up to the council to do via a resolution. So it would always it's something that this body has the ability to decide for itself. We have had this rule that governs that or that has made the suggestion, I would say, that we have a second Monday of July meeting and a third Monday of August meeting. But as we've experienced recently, those dates were not necessarily optimal for everyone. And therefore, we propose here to just let the body select its routine dates for itself.
All right. On page 7, Rule 20, line 27, well, I'll read the first sentence. Any citizen of the City of Warwick may be heard on any docketed resolution or ordinance prior to the passage by the City Council. That line has been stricken. So does that mean that once the members of the public have an opportunity to speak at the committee meeting, they will not have an opportunity to speak when this comes to the full floor?
Thank you, Councilman, through the chair. After further discussion with the council president, this is a very complicated drafted sentence. And if, with your indulgence, should you wish to move forward, the council president would suggest that we undo the proposed change to Rule 20.
Okay, thank you. In concern or having concern that I'll run out of time, I want to move to page 10, Rule 30. Item C. So it says, and I understand this was discussed earlier, but the question I'm going to ask wasn't discussed. It says, the city clerk shall prepare and cause to be printed a docket or will there on which there. So the line stricken is city clerk shall prepare and cause to be printed is stricken on which there has been stricken. So with that language out of there, who is going to do this? And I need to know who is going to do this. Is this something that is going to continue to be done through the administration? Or is this something that is going to get assigned to the council liaison. Because right now, it just says, we're taking this out. But it doesn't say who is going to do it. So I want to know who is going to do it.
Through the chair, thank you, Councilman. The intent here is not to shift this burden to any from its current home. The intent was merely to undertake a series of cleanups. We did not catch all of them, as Councilman Napa noted, but it was not intended to shift this burden to somebody else. It is part of the natural duties that the clerk's office maintains those records, and they're responsible for them. It doesn't, we're not striking that they're, it's, we're not saying it's going anywhere else. It's just trying to bring the voice of the rules package into what we have direct authority over.
Yeah. So, and as a reminder, we can't even say the city clerk can or cannot do that. We don't, the rule would mean nothing, and currently does mean nothing. Now, again, to what I, same thing I mentioned to Councilman Muto, if we actually do want to say, hey, the city clerk shall do X, Y, Z, we'd have to put it in an ordinance.
Well, certainly that's a possibility, but it's, the fact remains is it has not been identified who is going to do this work.
Yep,
and my concern is, and you know, you say whatever you want to say, my concern is that this work that is now being done by the city clerk could be shifted over to the council liaison. Keep in mind that there's, we have one council liaison who represents nine council people versus the clerk's office. And I'm not suggesting that the clerk's office doesn't need additional help. I certainly do believe that it does, but I don't want to see a workload that is currently being done by another department shifted over to a council liaison who already has nine people that this person is responsible to.
So the concern you've highlighted could happen today, could happen a year ago, could happen tomorrow. There's nothing in our rules that prevent the city from saying we will no longer do XYZ. Even right now, before these changes get implemented, it doesn't, it means nothing that it says the city clerk shall, it literally has no meaning.
And if the administration, I'm not going to pinpoint it to the clerk, I'm going to put it the administration. If the administration says we're not doing this anymore, now what are you going to do? Who's going
to
do it?
That, again, that goes back to, if we want to dictate anyone in the city to do something, we need to pass an ordinance on that.
We need to do an ordinance.
And that was already the case today with the rules as they stand now, regardless of if we make this change.
Which is probably makes it even more important for us to hold this for a fairly lengthy period of time until we can explore all these other items.
And bear in mind, there's also the possibility that the same rule I mentioned, I forget if it was for Councilman Muto or Councilman Gebhardt's sake, where I mentioned that we can make things say the city council must be provided XYZ. So that way, if the city, for whatever reason, chose not to, then the city council wouldn't be able to consider whatever it is they want us to consider. So you can start to weave requirements in that are enforceable very readily.
So with that said, Mr. President, and I like that idea. I would like it a whole lot better if that action or those actions affecting other parts of this resolution were enacted prior to changing the council rules. Just my opinion on that.
Yeah, they would get, it would have, it, what I just said would happen via changing the rules. So when we hold this, that could be one of the things we go through as far as see which ones we can better intertwine.
Correct. That's what I'm getting at. We already talked about that. On also page 10, we have item E. Can the, through the chair to the solicitor, explain why we're omitting that.
I believe it's page 11.
I'm sorry. It's the mayor and the members of the council having ordinance resolutions, et cetera, et cetera. It's item number 9 on page 11 of the proposed council rule changes.
Thank you, Councilman.
This seemed to be a redundant paperwork obligation, but I think, you know, raising the questions that you have and that we've heard tonight, there seem to be a few things that were not intended to be significant shifts, but points are well noted, particularly as we noted, Rule 20, Rule 30, Rule 36, and I would suggest the shifting of the date number from 5 to 4 in Rule 32. If those are the issues of potential, you know, need for further study, one potential action that this body could consider would be to undo those proposed changes to those rules, should you wish, and we could focus on the other, what we believe to be more cleanup protocols. But it's the body's pleasure.
So through the chair to council, as you know, you and I have had a series of conversations about some of these changes. And one of, amongst others, one of my significant concerns is that additional workload is going to be shifted from any department onto the city council liaison. And I believe you had said and just said that was not the intent of any of this, and that the appointments, which council liaison already handles, is the only change that would, really it's not a change because she's already doing it. Other than that, there are no other changes. Is that correct?
Rule 31, to my understanding, codifies the council appointments that are currently coordinated through the liaison, not the clerk. So this is an update to codify the existing practice that is somewhat contrary, although you could make an argument procedurally, it does ultimately end up through the clerk, but this is aligning the council appointments, not the mayoral appointments, but the council's appointments processes to be managed as they currently are, even though the rule doesn't spell that out as clearly.
Councilman, before you get started again, I've been stopping and starting as you ask questions and people answer, but you're up to about 9 minutes, so just another minute to wrap it up.
Thank you. Again, on Rule 31, so the clarification is made, the council liaison shall notify the chair of the intermental government position, terms expire. Is that something that is being done by the council liaison now? Is that one of the items you're referring to?
Yes.
Okay. And this says the city clerk shall also, it's scratched out, send a copy of said notice to every member of the city council. That's something that you also were referring to that is already a task performed by the council liaison? And if it's not, who's going to do it? See, that's my point. So I'm not going to belabor this any further. My point is that there's this language in here that, to me, is ambiguous. There's language in here that, by deleting language, there hasn't been, at least as I interpret these things, a clear and concise designation as to who is going to be doing this, even if it's simple wording that, okay, the administration. I feel more comfortable that the council president said that, you know, these things certainly can be considered through an ordinance prior to our voting on this little
thank you, Councilman.
Items. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks, if you can be brief, knowing that we're going to hold this And many points have already been made. Go ahead.
I'll try to be brief. I often try and don't succeed, but we'll try. So I do agree with a certain point raised by Councilman Muto, Napa, and Lasser as to the number of days provided. I do recall it wasn't that many years ago when we were receiving the agenda and various items a full 10 days before council meetings. And especially for newer members, it really does make a difference. I get that. And, frankly, for myself, now, how on earth did this happen? Second most senior member. Yeah, sometimes it still does make a difference because this is a part-time position. But there were certain compromises that were made so that we're not putting too great a burden on the clerk's office. You know, one point that we try not to burden too much, but we often do. Anyways, the the next point here is that I understand the council president's point as to us as a city council lacking certain abilities through the city council rules to compel the administration to do pretty much anything. That would be depending on the precise exactly what we're trying to compel the administration to do, or otherwise just set the different obligations or requirements, what have you. That would be something that could be better assigned through an ordinance or through even a charter change, depending on the exact situation. But one thing that along those lines has always bothered me a little bit is that the mayor actually does sign the city council rules. I've never seen a circumstance where any mayor, at least so long as I've been on the city council, has declined to sign the city council rules. I suppose I shouldn't speak on that because the city council rules would go into effect without the mayor's signature. But then in theory, what happens if the mayor, and I'm not talking about the current mayor, but a theoretical, hypothetical future mayor, were to actually veto the city council rules? Then I suppose it would take the normal course of we would have to come back and have a 2/3 majority. But how much sense that really makes from a checks and balance point of view when it comes to the city council rules in particular is a little bit strange. So putting all of those thoughts together, it strikes me that perhaps the city council rules may carry a little bit more authority as to the administration, perhaps because the administration has veto powers. I mean, it's all arguments, I suppose. I'm not saying that this is necessarily the best argument. I would defer to our city council solicitor on that. And I think that there are cleaner ways to handle this as well, of course, that are less controversial. But that also just leads into another related topic on the city council rules in general. There's a certain theme here that compared to many other city councils, it sure seems to me that the limited powers that we have as a legislative branch almost makes me want to call ourselves an advisory board more than a city council. Obviously, we have certain powers. We have the power to set the tax rate, power to set the amount going to the school department, but that's a different discussion for another day. So where I'll end this with is that, yeah, I think that it is most appropriate to hold this. And I think that it is also appropriate to look at the city council rules, not just from the perspective of what can we on the city council necessarily strictly enforce, but there is certain value to setting norms as well. And then if there winds up being pushback on the norms, maybe then it's time to take more seriously, okay, do we need to to shift the responsibility more formally. And does our constituent affairs liaison have enough resources to do that? Do we need to get an assistant to the constituent affairs liaison? Or alternatively, is this something that certain norms we need to codify as ordinances? That's my last thought on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council or the committee? Members of the public, Ms. Komar.
Good comments tonight. This is Michelle Komar. Just Rule 42, it's the last one. And it calls for the council can set up a presentation by the actuarial firm to do a public hearing presentation on the financial status and outlook of the city. Well, we learned a couple months ago we had the actuarial consultant here, and he even said he does not do the big picture financial outlook. And I remember Councilman Ricks, if I'm correct, and Councilman Lattiser wanted this into the rules or an ordinance, I can't remember which, but their name was on the legislation associated with this. And I suggest that actuarial firm be replaced by the word auditor, because an auditor would look at the big picture for you. The consultant that was here a couple months ago looked at OPEG, I mean, very limited slice of the whole picture. So that would be my comment, just to change the word actuarial firm to auditor.
Thank you, Ms. Komar.
Thank you.
Any other members of the public have anything to add? Members of the public? Seeing none, looking for a motion to hold?
Motion to hold until the June 2nd
meeting. As a reminder, the request was that it go to the full floor and then it be held.
That's right. Motion to move to the full floor with recommendation?
Second.
Okay, motion on the table is to move to the full floor with no recommendation. We have all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next up, PCR 3925, resolution relative to amending the times of the City Council and its committees. Councilman DeLuis.
Yes. Well, I'm relatively new to this council, and my whole life has been spent with time constraints. And my first few meetings, I've seen a lot of wasted time on how these meetings are run. And I tried to make them more expeditious and more efficient. So I came up with the resolution to change the times of the committees as well as the time of the regular council meeting. So just to make them more expeditious so they can run. I mean, I was at a meeting one night where I actually left for an hour and came back at 7 o'clock, and it's just a lot of wasted time that, and there's a lot of other things that I can put into place if I was allowed to make these meetings run more efficiently. So that's my little speech.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the committee have any questions or comments on this? Seeing none, members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. I will be supporting this legislation by Councilman DeLuise. I certainly understand his position and his concerns. However, I would just point out that there may be an unintended consequence going forward where perhaps there will be people who are on the opposite end of this item. And if that surfaces, it's always something that can be revisited. But right now, I think it's an appropriate move by Councilman DeLuise, and I will be supporting that.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Going back a few years ago, with an exception of a committee that rarely met, in previous years, we typically had a schedule where the Finance Committee would meet at 5 o'clock, and then the next committee that usually had something on the docket would meet at 6 o'clock, and so on from there. So we've already moved a step towards what my colleague from Ward 4 is suggesting. I think that this proposal, I certainly think that your heart is in the right place here, but I think that it's a little bit too ambitious. And my concern there is that while it might mean that there's less waiting time between different committees, less waiting time when it comes to the start of the full council meeting on some nights where the agenda moves quickly, it's much more typical for the Finance Committee to take about an hour. And then it's also much more typical for the committees as a whole to take pretty close to the 2 hours, pushing it to 7 o'clock. And so even though this proposal may save some time, those different gaps in the in those meetings where things move along quickly, my real concern here is that it's about members of the public. That's really who this meeting is ultimately for when it comes to the advertised times. And if we set times that are far more often than not overly ambitious, then when our constituents are asking us, oh, what time should I show up to the meeting? I might have to tell them, well, this committee is slated to meet at 5:20 or at 5:30, but most likely the Finance Committee might take an hour, or, oh, it's a heavy docket, Finance Committee, so it might take quite a bit longer, or, oh, the Ordinance Committee is meeting first, and that committee might take a good hour, and next thing you know, we're just in one of those positions where more and more we have that degree of uncertainty, and constituents don't know, should I show up so early? Should I just rush to the city council right after getting out of work at, say, 4:30 or 5 o'clock, skip eating, or, you know, do the quick drive-through thing, and then wind up waiting for hours? I mean, obviously, that sort of thing happens already. It is a concern as it is, but there always has to be a certain degree of balance, and I think that the current balance is, by and large, a balance I'm more comfortable with at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have anything to add? Councilman Napa.
Yeah, just quickly. I do agree with the compact schedule that Councilman DeLuise has proposed. My only suggestion was there's an hour-long gap between public properties and the council meeting beginning. Would be maybe to consider moving that gap between finance and the following committee, because finance seems to take anywhere between 30 and 45 minutes typically. And I could be wrong. It just could be the first few months of meetings here, but if that's sort of the standard, perhaps we move the gap between finance and the subsequent committee, whether that be ordinance or intergovernmental or whatnot, just to allow appropriate time to the finance committee to get through finance committee. That docket, I guess, it seems to just, that agenda seems to be larger than the rest. 15 minutes is not enough.
Yeah, just so bear in mind, by having them spread out that way, we have that same situation now where finance committee will start at 5, and it'll go long past when other committees would start. So that status quo won't change. The only thing that changes on that this would implement would be nights like we had a finance committee meeting and God, it was like 5 or 10 minutes or something really short. So that this would then allow for ordinance committee to have the ability to start rather than the mandate to start. So having that gap where it is doesn't hurt you. It only helps you by compressing them like that. Because if you change it so that finance committee has a larger gap, now if what happened one night happens again, we're all stuck sitting on our hands waiting for that time slot to open up, as opposed to having the option or ability to go to move to the next committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Did that answer your question, Councilman?
Yes. Yeah, it did. Thank you.
Anything else? No, but thanks for this. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick follow-up. For those members that were not on the city council back in the day, we actually held separate meeting for the finance committee because of the length of time that was involved. I would also point out and will take it much more seriously the amount of items that come to the bid package. If we are overloaded in that bid package, the finance committee is going to take all that much longer to get through it because we all do our due diligence. And if we continue to get overloaded or in the future get overloaded, that's going to delay the process. So to the council president's point, the finance committee is the one that sets the tone. And there will be, I'm sure, many times when we're just not going to be ready to roll at 6:30. But when we are, great, we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I think all the members who wanted to speak have had an opportunity. Members of the public, Ms. Comar.
Thank you. Hi.
Just your name. Your name,
Michelle Comar. Thank you. After attending council meetings for maybe 20 years, I got you beat. I sit on the other side of the table, and I'll tell you what I hear. People are disappointed when the agenda changes for order of events, which the council is allowed to do, in particular for public hearings or presentations, and then people are waiting longer. They're also discouraged when things run late. So if you have a short time frame for them to show up, in particular like a 5:15 meeting, and finance is running over, they're grumbling in the audience. And you may lose constituents, residents, input. And I'd hate to see that happen. But that's what's happened over the 20 years of my experience. I don't have the answer for this, but when you think about this schedule, think of what the time eaters are. And I would say public hearings. And they're usually dealing with street abandonments and zone changes. So what committees do you want that in? Those committees usually need more time. Sometimes you'll have two public hearings. So I would arrange the times to accommodate if you're going to put them into ordinance or public properties and a lot for potential public hearings. The last comment I have is an amendment to this, which would be that the times of the committee meetings will be posted on the City Council website. I brought this to the Council's attention at this beginning of this new term. They're not posted. For me to find out when intergovernmental met, I had to go to the Secretary of State's website. That's why you don't have people here. They don't know what time the committees are meeting. Let's spend time encouraging public participation instead of what we're doing right now, is compressing the time the public can participate and not give them notice. Not everybody's great at searching the Secretary of State's website, but I could not find the committee meeting times on the council website. So I would suggest an amendment that the committee's meeting times be posted on the City Council website like they have every other year in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Comar. I don't know that we necessarily need to make an amendment on this. That's something we can effectuate a change to have these be be posted. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next up, PCR 40-25, Resolution of General Assembly requesting amendments to the Warwick City Charter to allow for electronic notice of special council meetings, raising the small procurement dollar threshold by ordinance, and requiring board and commission appointments to be nonpartisan. Council President.
So I'm going to punt to the solicitor again because he was kind enough to go through and find these cleanup changes for the charter, because we figured there's going to be a special election for the bond. Could potentially get some other stuff handled, some of which has been a constant thorn since it first arose, such as the service of process.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through the chair. Thank you, Mr. President. In the past few years, we've identified a couple of instances where the charter has proven to be outdated through the times. The three proposed changes address kind of unrelated things, but are all kind of part of that same theme. So the first was our charter spells out how we can provide notice to the members of the council regarding a special meeting of the body. It currently only allows for it to be served upon your person or left at your usual place of residence at least 48 hours prior to such meeting. We're not seeking to change those as options, but we are seeking the ability to allow for an electronic communication as an option to provide you such notice to satisfy the charter in order to hold such special meetings as they may need to be called. The second item has to do with small purchases. There's two thresholds that are spelled out for between $1,000 and $2,500 and those items that are in excess. The state law has subsequently updated in the 50 years or so since this charter was adopted with those stagnant dollar amounts. And so right now, I believe those thresholds are up to $5,000, but there has been pending laws before the assembly to further enable communities to adjust that up. For example, up to, I think it's $10,000. For small procurements and up to $25,000 for small construction proposals, but that is just a pending law. One problem we have is the charter sets a specific dollar amount that is enshrined there permanently, subject to voter change. So the ask that is before you on this one is to allow for the council to set this by ordinance, subject to whatever authority the state law provides. So it is merely to provide the flexibility for the council to set this threshold within the confines of state law to give you the discretion to raise that as you may or may not see fit to whatever threshold you're allowed to do. And the last one we ran into very early in the mayor's term, where it was identified that we had this process that the party that was not the mayor, of which we don't have a minority party when you have a independent mayor, it was not conceived that we would have an independent, it was always a two-party concept back when the charter was enshrined. So it was putting forward a plan that said that the chairman of the party that is not of the mayor's would provide a list of persons to be considered for certain boards and commissions. As we do not have that situation currently, it warranted a fresh look to see if the voters similarly would like to decide that unless we're required to, there are some boards that have partisan requirements per state law. We're basically saying, absent those directives from the state, that these boards be filled independent of any political affiliation and that they be done on a nonpartisan basis. So the request is to allow the ability for the voters to, we would be here asking the assembly to either add a special election or the 2026 general whichever may be scheduled earlier or at the discretion of all of you. It would allow for us to ask the assembly for the authority to go to the voters to change those three provisions of the charter.
Mr. Chairman, a correction.
Thank you, Solicitor. Go ahead.
Thank you. There apparently is a typo on this. If you look at the actual legislation, I am the primary sponsor. Council President is co-sponsor, and Councilman Muto is co-sponsor. So I would like that corrected, please.
So you would like to be removed as a co-sponsor?
I am the co-sponsor.
Oh, you are, okay.
So it's just, it's a typo in the...
The resolutions title. Are correct. The agendas are missing.
Correct.
The Councilman Lattiser is the prime sponsor. That was a clerical error, and we can, without objection, the committee can have that be updated accordingly, and we can do that similarly to the council.
So noted.
But the item itself is proper.
Okay. So noted. Any members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Through the president to the solicitor, just as a point of clarity, the notice that we're changing is only for the active city council members and not having to do anything with the public, and that it will also stand to save the city paying constable fees to actually get us physically served, which is illogical because of our means of communication. Is that my understanding of this intent?
Yes, section 210 only speaks to how the 9 members of you and the mayor are served when a special meeting is called. It doesn't change any other protocol or requirement under law.
So in addition to streamlining the process, we're also saving the city money by waiving the necessity of paying an outside party to come and physically serve us, which I think is probably, well, I know for our constable, it's anywhere between $50 and $90, depending on how expeditious it needs to be. So I think it's a no-brainer to do that.
Thank you.
Yep, agreed.
Anything else? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So, first, one general thought on this. I do not object to this on the basis of it coming directly to the city council as opposed to going through a committee, more particularly talking about some sort of a charter review commission or the like. Obviously, this is currently in committee. But I'm a little bit leery about having 3 different items when it comes to a charter change all docketed together in this particular fashion. I'm not saying that I would vote against it for that particular reason, but just... want to put that thought out there on people's radars that I really do think that charter changes, each one, especially if it's separate topics, should be docketed separately, in my personal opinion. Obviously not a legal problem there. Okay, so taking each one, I'll start with the one change to section 6-12. I agree with this. I have no issue with this whatsoever. Second, I'll jump back to the first one, 2-10, notice of special meetings. I like this in concept, but I would add a little bit of language there, because when we're talking about the an electronic service, that could mean many things. It's good that it's phrased that way because technology changes over time. It's more flexible, but the whole concept of service by constable in person or at the address where the person lives is to really, as best as possible, guarantee that the person, this member of the city council, is in fact receiving this. So electronically, there's less certainty if we just leave it at that word alone that the person in question is in fact receiving the notice of a special meeting, and that opens up the possibility of people playing games here. So obviously that's not the intent of any of this. So what I would suggest, I'm not necessarily making this an amendment at this moment, but what I would suggest potentially for an amendment brainstorming here is, instead of it simply saying electronically, put in a phrase to the effect of electronically in a manner that that particular member of the city council has previously approved of. That can be shopped around, wordsmithed a little bit, but if I say that, yeah, I'll take service electronically by email, that's different from, say, somebody sending out to me electronically through a tweet and attachment that way, and I might not ever check my Twitter account or whatever technology is out there. So then on 10-24, minority representation being replaced with nonpartisan appointments, I can understand the draw of that. However, like so many other issues when it comes to separation of powers, checks and balances, this is an area where I do have concerns. You may remember members who served several years ago. I was, I think at the time, the only member of the council who voted against certain appointments to the zoning board based on what were, in my opinion, failures to follow the traditional process, where there were no Republicans serving on the zoning board at that given time, following the unfortunate and premature passing of the late, great Don Morash. So I voted against various nominees because there were no Republicans on that committee and that board, very important zoning board. And the process wasn't being followed that I believed was legally required of, well, you can see it in the strike through red text right there, what I interpreted that process applicable to be. I won't rehash all of that in further detail. You can check the video from that time that came up. But going forward, although we may have independent mayors in the future, although we may have mayors of third parties in the future, I would, and by the way, that would pose a little bit of a challenge with the current phrasing of minority representation. So I do think that change should be made to that section. However, I do think it is important for there to be representation of any political party that is either the party of the mayor or a political party that has at least one person elected of that party to this city council. As of, if this were enacted, that is that one sentence, then hypothetically, a mayor could decide, that's it, no Democrats or no Republicans on any committee whatsoever. And I don't think that's good for the balance and making sure that there is that diversity of opinions. So that's why I wouldn't be in favor of that last provision. Thank you.